Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning, everyone. It's a great pleasure to be here. Bom dia. Cadê os brasileiros aqui? Right there. The Brazilians are like all the way to the top because they're thinking, hey, I mean, yeah, anyways, Brazilians. So they're probably watching soccer on their phones or something like that. No, I'm joking. Good to be here. Thank you, worship team. In fact, the last song that was sang, it was in the wedding when my wife and I got married 12 years ago. This month we celebrated 12 years. And if you want to understand God's grace, is that we're still married. So, I mean, it's very, very powerful, God's grace. A couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, Dr. Jones finished his chapel talking about Judges chapter 3 and the challenge that with the life of Ehud, right? Ehud is the name of that judge. He had it too with the... With the presence of the Spirit, he had to receive the power in his presence and the guidance to walk in faith. The challenge for all of us that morning was, how can we truly step out in faith and keep moving forward with the plan and the dreams that God has for us? And as I was thinking about today and because of the mention on that chapel, I thought, you know, there are things that happen to my life, and I don't want to come here thinking, look, you know, imitate me, that kind of thing. But I want to share my personal experience in my journey with God. And this idea, this biblical reflection for us this morning has to do with the continuation of my life until I'll be in glory with God. Your life as you take steps into what's next for your future, for faculty, staff, all of us are somewhat in the same journey of faith, of walking into and trying to understand how can I continue to serve God and walking in the path that He has prepared for me. So this morning we're going to talk about some guardrails principles. You know, because guardrails help us to navigate, right? And in our roads here in the United States, which they're awesome, much better than Brazilian roads, you have those little thing that when your tire hits and make that, you know, big noise to kind of wake you up if you're sleeping and all that. But even if you don't hear that, there's still guardrails that protects you. And as you drive, as you know where's the how wide the road are and those kind of things. And I think the Bible talks about a couple of principles for us that give us the same type of direction as we walk in faith. Now, the best example of that type of principle is probably in the life of Jesus. And in Matthew 4, Luke 4, when Jesus is tempted, we see that, you know, there's the context of the temptation. He's starting his public life and in ministry, but the temptation of Satan to Jesus are basically in three different words: provision. If you're hungry, pray, food can come in right now. He talks about power. Look how the kingdoms, if you bind to me, if you cut, if you compromise, I'll give you all that power right now. It's about power. And then in the temple, in fact, Dr. Beyer, Dr. Jones, and I, last year, we were in Israel, and you're welcome. we were there. It was incredible, incredible. I've never been to Israel before. A lot has to do with the ministry that we do as crossover in the Arab world, so I was always a little hesitant to cross into the Jewish promised land there, but it was an incredible. And we were at the wall where the temple used to be. And the third temptation is where Jesus was, in the top, in the pinnacle, saying, hey, I will look all those people. I'll give all that to you. Which, And you can throw yourself, the angels will take care of you. It has to do with protection. Provision, power, protection. And somewhere in life, you and I are going to run through possibilities to get more power, to provide for our family better, or to protect our family better. And we may get stuck to the possibility of saying, if I just cut this right here, I can get there a little faster. So here are a couple of principles that I have tried to apply or learned in the last couple of years of my life. And this is my best picture of Jesus being tempted by Satan. Sorry. There you go. So don't compromise integrity for short-term gain. And I remember when I was in Brazil, I'm a Japanese descendant, so I'm thinking, God call me, I'm going to serve him, I'm going to go to Japan. And I remember going to the Japanese embassy, getting all my visas, all my paperwork, and I walk into the elevator, and I pray this prayer, which, you know, why you do that? You know, but I say, God, if I have to leave this building, it's probably my sixth time going there, I understand that you're telling me no. I am not coming back. So now I'm there giving all my papers, and they say everything's fine, great, 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 great. Where's the envelope with the stamp so we can send your passport back? And I say, oh, I don't have it. I say, well, we just go across the street. You get an envelope and a stamp, and then all your paperwork is done. And she hand me everything back. So now I'm alone. I'm 19 years old. I'm in an elevator thinking, I can just go get the envelope. Everything is ready. But I remember the prayer. So I never walked back. I was going for 5 weeks to Japan, and I never did that. Now, you know what happened? My 5 weeks of going to Japan became 5 weeks of internship with an organization called Crossover. I didn't know what God had for us. And it's been 19 years that God has given me the great privilege to serve with an organization like Crossover. And as Rick mentioned, back in 2012, I had the great honor, humble honor, to become the president, the second president in our history after 25 years of the organization, right here, literally across the street. So let me give you a little plug, if I may. 42% of the world's population today, right now, 3.11 billion people, doesn't even know that there's a Christ worthy to be praised. And that should do something to our hearts. It doesn't mean you need to change your call, anything like that, but that it should do something to us. And all those people are still unreached. Maybe not unchurched, right? The difference and the distinction, they're literally unreached. They're, you know, however you are in your theological spectrum, it's not that they rejected the gospel, it's that they never heard about the gospel. So for us, as Crossover, we're saying, you know, we know that the spiritual needs are everywhere, but the access to the gospel, it's not, and that's the key difference. There are spiritual needs in my Buddhist family back in Brazil, spiritual needs in your family, right now, spiritual needs in Columbia, South Carolina. But the access to the gospel, it exists in Brazil, exists right here, but it may not exist in some parts of the world where those unreached people groups are found. So we, as Crossover, in a nutshell, we're trying to provide gospel access to those unreached people groups of the world. And the way we do this is through the church. We believe that the promise of Christ to build the church, right? God instituted the family and the church. And we believe the church is the most powerful, self-sustained, cross-cultural, native way of communicating the gospel to those people. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're saying, hey, we're going to partner with Jesus. Jesus is doing something he promised he's going to accomplish. So that's what we're going to do. That agenda is our agenda as an organization. Let's see churches being planted. So in the last 30 years, and we started really planting the churches in 1995, but in the last 30 years of history, the Lord has blessed us in seeing 637 churches planted among unreached people groups of the world. And the majority of them are being planted among Muslim communities, which is incredible how the Lord is leading out. Understand, right here, this chapel probably have about 15 to 20 house churches in the Muslim world, right? So it's not the church maybe that we think, a small community of believers. They're practicing their faith in that part of the world. So if you want to know a little bit more about here, and where's, oh, they're all the way in the back there. Marley is there and Rachel's there. They're working off us. Or just do something. Just cross over the street. Sorry, that was cheesy, right? Hey, I am funny in Portuguese. I promise you, all right? So, and come see us. Come drink a tea with us and get to know. And if we can serve you, we'll be honored to do that. So integrity is when no one is seen. And you're going to be tempted, right? Proverbs 5:21 says that for the man's way before the eyes of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. That's the idea. He's always there. You know, the world tells us today, nobody's seeing. Hey, God is seeing. He's always there. Now, the other test somewhat for my life was when I moved to the United States. I was engaged. So my wife and my kids are all the way to the back right there. So you're probably not going to see, but I have a picture of them here. So those are my kiddos and my wife. We've been married for 12 years. So we have a Gabriella, 6, Lincoln's 3, and Isaac's 1.5. And we haven't slept forever. So that's the way it feels. And my wife is from Arkansas. I'm from Brazil. She's a nurse. We got engaged and we moved to Columbia, South Carolina. She lives in her apartment. I'm trying to survive with people helping me to live somewhere in the world. I'm broken. I have nothing. So, you know, so I'm living in people's houses here in Columbia. But here's what we have. We didn't have anybody around us necessarily saying, hey, how long are you in her house? Are you going back to your house? And, you know, and it was... It could have been very easy to compromise purity for a short-term pleasure. And I think this is going to be part of where we're constantly tempted. And it doesn't change after you get married. It's a constant walk of realizing, God, I depend on you on this. There's always going to be there. When you're tired, you know, there's always going to be there. And guardrails, for example, my wife and I, we agree, and we realized I don't give rights to women by myself in the car. Just wiser. It's a wise thing to do. I try not to get in the elevator. I travel a lot. I'm going to get in the elevator by myself in a hotel. Try not to do that. Silly things. It protects me. He protects the family, right? I mean, the whole idea of the family, of not compromising, we see in Proverbs. This is a verse for us as a family, Proverbs 24. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and precious treasures. And he says in Psalm 27:3, unless the Lord builds the house, and it starts right now. Not there, but right now. Unless the Lord builds his house, you know, those who build labor in vain. You know, it's just, it's part. And then my wife and I, by his grace, right? This is not a prideful message. It's by God's grace, by guardrails around us, we can today talk to our kids and say, you know, you need to remain there. Let's do this together. And I remember one day during that period of time, Dr. Jones, that has been a great mentor in my life since I was 17 years old. So we've been journeying together for a long time. I remember one day he walked into the office and he looked at me and he said, are you and Christy okay? Are you guys protecting? Is anybody caring for you? Who's doing your, you know, where we're engaged? Who's doing your marriage counseling? Why are we working? So people around you, community, one of the greatest things that I missed about Brazil, and this is a general speaking, the ecclesiology in Brazil and the ecclesiology in the United States, is that the culture of the United States, in my perspective, is based in events and activities. And they're not bad, it's just based on that. right? So it's not, I'm a proud American today. So it's not a just a perspective there. But it was really hard for us to connect with community, because you go to church on Sunday for an hour and then you go home, it's done, right? And I remember sitting down, and maybe that was the group I was with, and we would talk for 30 minutes about college football, NFL, and all that, and then for 5 minutes we maybe talk about God, because most of the guys didn't know how to talk at all. And I thought, oh man, I missed community. Because community helps us to walk. And especially in the area of purity, you need community with you. You need people walking with you. Do not compromise purity for a short-term pleasure. Number three. So I'm going to talk about one of my somewhat failures. Do not compromise relationship for a short-term reward. And I had a great, one of the greatest privileges in my life was to serve with on the board of directors of Comina. So if you know anything in the Latin American missions movement, 1987, a congress of Latin Americans and the Ibero Peninsula, Spain, Portugal, they got together and they said, hey, we're going to do a conference that mobilizes for us Latinos, Hispanics to reach the world for Christ. That event was called Comibun. And the expression of Comibun in the United States is called Comina. And I had the privilege to serve in their board of directors for 7 years. But I am, some of them will call me, I am too Anglo to be in a Hispanic movement. Or I am too Japanese, I would rather that way, to be in a Hispanic movement. Then I remember throughout those 7 years serving them that sometimes I thought, you know what, this is so clear. The reward is right there. Let's just switch the gears and change it. And I missed it that I was hurting relationships. Because even though we were in the United States, we're caring for all the IRS laws of legal things for nonprofit, the people in the room, they were way more relationship driven because they were Latinos than they were worried about the law. Just for example, we had four meetings a year and spent 3 days together meeting. Because every decision we make, and this is part of the Latin world, every decision we make, we look around and say, hey, the decision is made, great. How do we feel about the decision now? So that we're going to talk about how we feel about it. You know, that's just part of it. So that's why some of our meetings were so long. And I remember jeopardizing some of that. I had to say, you know, sorry, you know, I didn't realize that was offending you if we were taking those decisions. The decisions were good, but it was offending. So I know most of you are Americans, but you know what are you going to carry from this earth? Eternal relationships. Everything's going to pass one day. And just think that you're going to be worship the King right next to your classmate one day. Just think of that, you know, I maybe can cut this so I can get the praise right here. I come to do announcements or whatever it is that gets me attention, but I might be stepping in somebody else right there. And I don't even see about it. I don't even know that those things are there. See, the Bible says in Matthew 6:1 that be aware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then your reward is from them and no longer from the Father who is heaven. Now, there's other side of the equation. You can't preserve relationships. Now, this is what sounds bad. You want to do everything that's well to be with your brother. But there are times that pleasing God is a little more important than pleasing relationship. So that's why it's so hard. That's why it's a journey that we walk. Because it's not a formula, right? For example, in Galatians, Paul says, you know, am I trying now to get approval of humans? If I was doing that right, I wouldn't be a servant of God. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, that's our stewardship or responsibility, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. Right? So there's that balance that needs to be there. I just flew back yesterday with all the rain. I got stuck in the airport, but this is a picture of 2 days ago. I had the great privilege to speak in Spanish at the Camina conference. God's grace. Even when we make mistakes and having an attitude of repentance and understanding that we're not there yet. We're in that journey, we're walking, and it was just a great privilege to be there with them speaking. So three things, and we could talk about many others, but just three things for us to consider, to ponder today. Do not compromise integrity for short gain. Do not compromise purity for short-term pleasure. Do not compromise relationship for short-term reward. Those are guardrails for us to walk in faith in this journey that the Lord has called us. And as leaders, as people who are being trained, faculty, staff who are leading the school, we're constantly going to be put in the position that is going to look like, if I just compromise this little bitty thing, nobody will see. Look all the things that could happen. And, you know, just to see how that is constant, we start talking about the life of Jesus, right? How Jesus was tempted and the temptation of compromising to things that he, as part of Trinity, knew that was his. Right? Philippians 2, chapter 6 says that he chose to empty himself of those attributes so he can be like man. But he knew that there was a mission to be accomplished. And when that mission is accomplished, all the things that Satan was offering was possible. And it was possible back then, but that was a shortcut, was a compromise. Imagine if Jesus had compromised. I bet you and I wouldn't be here. Now, it didn't happen only there when he was starting, you know, his public life or his ministry life. It happened right there again at the Gethsemane, before the cross, before enduring everything that he knew. Do you guys remember the prayer that he prayed? Lord, if it's possible, if there's any other way for this mission to be done, can you take that away? And Satan was there again, tempting him, saying, hey, there's a way. There's another way. But if he had taken that step of compromising, you and I would not be here. So perhaps today our commitment, the things that we needed to think, especially if we want to see the name of Christ be known among all those unreached people groups in the world. If you want to be in the marketplace that honors God, where everybody else in the marketplace is saying, you kidding me? Shortcut is our nickname. That's how we do business. You're thinking, hey, I'm going to be a business as mission guy. I'm going to go reach the world. Great. You know what the most of countries are going to ask you to do to start your business? We just need something called bribe. Don't tell anybody, but we can make it happen. Oh, Lord, you know, if I just bribe, imagine what I can do for the kingdom. Imagine if Jesus thought it that way. Right? I can just do that right now. So the challenge for us, as we prepared ourselves, as we look to the challenge of unreached people groups, the challenge that we have in our communities, our societies, our home, churches, let's be a generation that do not compromise. Let's be a generation that says we're just not walking faith, understanding who God is, but when things go against us, we do not compromise. Because it might take me longer. I may get hurt. I'll get tired. It may take longer years to get there. But I'm going to get there honoring God. I'm not going to get there because I could. I'm not going to get there because one day in my life, maybe. You know, in our world today, there's a whole lot of this in our media of all those people who committed some sexual abuse and all that. And I don't want to get on the politics or that or how disgusting all those things are. But you know, there were compromises made in the past. And now 15, 20 years later, things are surging, you know, and saying, remember that? You don't want to be in a place. I think there was even a pastor lately that got in trouble for that. We don't want to be in a place to say, you know, I have this great ministry, but do you remember when you were at CIU? Remember what you did? I know, it's been 20 years ago. But do you remember that? Do not compromise. Let's commit ourselves to be followers of Christ who follow Him with the power of the Spirit to become the salt and light, to communicate the message of Christ with no compromising. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the challenge for me. I feel like when I'm speaking this is where the test will come probably the hardest. So would you help me to remain faithful in you, Lord? And I do pray for CIU as a family, as a body, students, faculty, staff, that in their journey of faith, that they will be bold in understanding that there's a commitment to follow you, and that commitment is hard. That commitment some days may appear that there is an easier way. There's a different path. But would you, Lord, use your word to guide our lives, the power of your Spirit to give us discernment and wisdom and faith so we can continue to serve you and honor your name until one day in heaven we'll all be celebrating that we made it. Good and faithful servant, that we made it by your grace. We love you, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. I believe you are dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.